Lives of Pitch, the podcast where we pitch the best films that'll never get made. I'm Matt Turner.
And I'm Tom McGrath. And the game goes like this. We ask you, our devoted listeners, to come up with titles that you'd like to hear us pitch.
We then collaborate, coming up with story points, casting, and even marketing strategies.
Without further ado, this week's title is... Me.exe.
Me.exe.
So, me good. Executive file.
Executable.
Executable, that's the one.
Ooh. Executive file. This is an important file.
Yeah, yeah, they are. That's what I thought. That's what I always thought they were.
I just, it was a computer noise.
Yeah, no, man. Yeah. Skype is an exe. I wouldn't call that an executive file.
Oh, yeah, no. the way Skype is run. Fucking Skype. Throwing shade on Skype.
That's what I'm here to do, Tom. Here to throw shade on Skype.
161 episodes in, our campaign against Skype continues. That one was from Ross_Originals, so thanks for that one, Ross.
Thank you. He got in touch with us on Twitter.
You can find us at Life's a Pitch Show. If you're listening and you don't follow us already, go there. Follow us at Life's a Pitch Show. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast. So, joining us for the cyberpunk episode of the Life's a Pitch podcast, we have Max Revels.
Hello.
Hi.
This is my cyberpunk theme. Enter the room. Smoke has billowed out through the door.
I thought you were giving Max a theme
so
song.
Did I.
I am. Yeah, I am. It's a cyberpunk entrance music.
So, yeah, how's it going, Max?
Yeah, it's going very well.
Max Revels, stand-up comedian?
Sometimes.
Yeah, stand-up comedian sometimes. Improviser.
Yep.
With Strike.
Yeah, Strike, and I am also president of the Sheffield Review.
Oh, cool, which is the stand-up...
Stand-up and Sketch Society, although my tenure is rapidly running out.
Oh, the empty chair, guys. Oh. You're ready to try to usurp the throne.
Get your knives up, boys. We've got some backs to stab.
When you said your tenure was rapidly running out, I was like, wow, is there a serious kind of Brutus scenario going on? Like, you're really worried around every corner that someone's waiting for you.
I'm really not looking forward to my stabbing.
So what always happens with the Sheffield Review, they always unseat their leaders by stabbing.
Yes, we have a death match protocol of a secession.
Like Black Panther.
Weird. Yeah.
it's like House of Cards, the Sheffield Review.
I've buried some bodies.
Not many people know about it, but yeah, there's
a lot more now.
Definite corruption in the Sheffield Review. Okay, so yeah, cyberpunk. Do you want to hear some honourable mentions? Some honourable cyberpunk mentions?
Yes.
Yes, please.
From Connor LaBelle, we've got Neurodancer.
Neurodancer.
I've just had a the Fantastic Voyage thing where they... So, medicine's got to a point now where people are shrunk to sort out problems in the body.
Right.
Kind of like a... What's that? Fantastic Voyage of whatever, I think.
It's just the Fantastic Voyage.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh. So there's a neurosurgeon who gets shrunk down and goes in someone's head, and he starts, as far as I've got.
Yeah. Journey to the center of the Earl. There's a guy called Earl, and they've got to sort him out.
Oh my God! No. Right. Name a famous DJ.
Khaled.
DJ Khaled. Yeah, sure.
What's his name? Old Mouse One. Dead Mouse 5.
Skrillex. Or DJ Khaled. Well, Skrillex, these are all viable people. Right, going with the shrinking thing.
Okay.
This is a dance movie, like we pitched the other week with Pneumatic Lovers.
Right.
It's a disco dance movie, or just a club dance movie, really, right. With the DJ guys.
Yeah.
Where... a nightclub experience is being shrunk and put into the brain of a DJ.
And the neurons firing of the lighting.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's so cool. And then there's bits in the song, and they've got to time it.
Yeah.
There's bits in the song where you've got to jump so you don't get electrocuted. Because the floor's about to
I'm
be used.
I'm just loving the idea of the bouncers being on this guy's ear, just like, no, we're not letting you in. Not letting you in here.
In here.
In here. Oh.
So, like, there's... Yeah, because, of course, if they play the music in the brain, they can kind of control, in a way, they've got these little electric stimulants that are going to control the brain waves of the thing. So not only is it a thing they sell to people who want to go to the club, but also they what's it better, right? What societally as an allegory is this better? Is it that it's a crime to do this and they're secretly going into people, like they're kidnapping people?
I think it's a secret
artists and stuff where they're like their mind is specifically unique.
I think it's a secret underground you know, like, very wealthy experience.
Okay.
So, like, these DJs are going missing.
Yeah. Like, Coachella. Like, a kind of... No, is it Coachella? What's the... Oh, no. Fire Festival. Like, the one where it's just, like, a load of young people with too much money.
Yeah.
Oh, Burning Man.
No. Well, no. Kind of, yeah. But that's a little bit on free. Like, Fire Festival, F-Y-R-E. Mm. Like, the one that they made and it never went off, it was just they ran out of money and they just spent all their money on a motorboat. So, like, the idea being that, like, this is for young people with too much money on their hands.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they're everything, there's, like, champagne and...
But there's also,
like,
a criminality to it, as in these DJs being kidnapped... and then forced to play.
No, the DJs are the mind you're in. There is no DJ. This is your inside the DJ's brain.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
So, yes, the conflict of the story comes where one of the DJs attempts to escape,
but with a club inside his head.
More notices. So you've got. I reckon we have it from the perspective of two people, right? There's a kind of Osmosis Jones feel to this thing.
Yeah.
Like, you got the perspective of, like, our Skrillex allegory.
Yeah.
And we're going to call him Chadsville, played by...
DJ Chadsville.
Yeah. Played by...
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks, the DJ Chadsville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
would you not go to see it? Would you not want to see Tom Hanks as a DJ?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would actually. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I never thought about
it. He lays
it before,
down absolute bangers as well. Like, it's insane. And he's seen as one of the best music producers. It's not just a DJ. This is the special one, right? Like, this is the one of the century. Because he is not just a DJ. He's also, like, a music producer for all the pop stars at the moment. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like a Mark Ronson sort of... he's worked with everyone.
Yeah.
And made those better. And so he's very, very famous. And we also see it from the perspective of the friend, like the nerdy friend of a really rich girl. So, like, who would play a good nerdy friend to a rich girl? What's her name? Is it Barb from Stranger Things?
Oh, yeah.
That sort of vibe?
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, let's say Anna Kendrick is the rich girl, Aubrey Plaza is her friend.
Okay, yeah. Aubrey Plaza doesn't feel at home at all in these places, but Anna Kendrick has a second ticket and needs someone to go with her. Like, she doesn't want to go alone. So she's brought Aubrey Plaza along as a sort of, like... And Aubrey Plaza, I don't know, we'll throw some tropes in there for her personality, in place of her personality. it's going to be like, she's biomed.
Okay.
Like, so she's wanting maybe to do...
brainy stuff.
Brain stuff.
She's a neurologist.
Yeah. And she doesn't know where she's going until they turn up and get put into the shrinking machine.
Yeah.
So Anna Kendrick's like, you're not going to believe we're going to have an amazing night. And she's only going really because she fancies this guy.
Yeah.
Who said that she should come along. And she doesn't know him very well. So she said, I'm not going alone. So he gave her two tickets. That make sense?
Yeah.
But I want to see you there tonight. And it's I don't know.
Chris Pratt.
He's a bit shifty, a bit of a jock, but he's kind of shifty. He's like, I want to see you there tonight. You should come along. And she's like, I'm not going alone. And then he's like, okay, well, we'll bring one of your friends.
So they end up in Tom Hanks's head.
No one too nerdy, though.
So they end up in Tom Hanks's head.
Yeah.
Whilst they're there, Tom Hanks
is making a...
Making a break for it.
No, he is forced to make dance
I think
music.
He's asleep.
Oh. Yeah.
Like, I think they've snuck into his house.
Oh, they've drugged him.
Yeah.
Mm.
Then everyone's walking in on the pillow into his ear and stuff. And then once everyone's in, they put headphones on.
Yeah.
And it's like, boom, 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 boom. Because the neurons are firing.
I don't think they put headphones on.
Yeah.
I think inside his brain, there is somehow this sort of like, they've plugged these things into his neurons, the specific thing that's like his dream state of where the music comes from.
It's just
from.
A constant beat.
Yeah.
They've figured out, like, they've got, there's a scientist, and it's like, Jeff Goldblum.
Mm.
And he's like, so we've discovered that the music comes from a certain nerve in the certain cortex of the brain. Now, we're going to take you inside that cortex and plug the speakers directly into the nerve the creativity would come from. You're going
to
hear...
This is going to be the best musical experience you've ever heard. That's what he says.
You're going to hear what is DJ... Something
Chadsville.
DJ Chadsville's magnum opus that he will never make. This is a one night only DJ set from the live stream from the conscious of his brain. And he like whips off a covering and it's just an ear.
And to be honest, I think they just have a good time.
Yeah, it's no, something's gotta go wrong.
Time.
Something's gotta go wrong.
No. They just have a good time. We're not Michael Crichton, Matt. It's not a theme park gone wrong. It's just they have a great time. It is a theme park gone wrong.
Something's gotta go wrong.
Because I'm more kind of almost getting some Ratatouille vibes.
Mm. I'm getting that Rick and Morty episode. Vibes.
I think that
Anatomy Park.
Oh yeah.
Chris Pratt gets a bit handsy.
Mm. Yeah.
Or sort of Chris Pratt takes Anna Kendrick off to a secluded corner somewhere. Aubrey Plaza follows them and finds that Chris Pratt's getting a bit aggressive.
Mm.
So she like beats him over the head. Chris Pratt's playing Jeff Goldblum's son.
Mm.
And Aubrey Plaza beats him over the head with a piece of Tom Hanks's brain.
Knocks him out.
Yeah.
Right. And because he's knocked out, he starts expanding inside.
Oh my god.
And they're like, shit, we gotta make a break for it. The ear is already closed up by his foot. Tom Hanks is dead already. As his body's shutting down, they've gotta make a break out of the peen. That's what they've gotta do.
What? That's not where I expected that to go, to be honest.
They're gonna make a break for the peen.
No.
Yes.
No, There's so many better places you can go with this.
Via his dick hole.
Yeah. That's how they get out.
There's so many better places you can take this. Like you can.
Where?
Tell me.
For instance, two of these great places that this could go.
So the bum. No. You could have screens that are showing like Tom Hanks's inner thoughts or memories or dreams,
and then
as you a lot closer.
Nose, mouth.
Yeah.
Any other orifice.
Tear ducts, anything.
Yeah, yeah. But no. The dick hole.
You decided the dick hole was the important one. No, like, you could have screens showing Tom Hanks' dreams and stuff.
Mm.
This is before the giant expanding man bit. like, what the fuck? Why did you take it there? and they're sort of like, they find that if they manipulate certain parts of his brain, then the stuff going on the screen changes.
Yeah.
And so they start to find a traumatic past in Tom Hanks.
Jeff Goldblum says don't get too drunk and get unconscious, otherwise you'll lose the power of shrinkingness. And you'll expand inside DJ Chadsville, which is what we don't want.
It's fucked up.
Yeah.
We could have a section where they find the they start dancing on some motor neurons.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It just cuts to Tom Hanks in bed like going sticking hand in the air.
We just see his body flailing around as Chris Pratt explodes out of his skull.
It's like we started off with a good film idea and then Tom decided that
nope.
Tom Hanks' head was going to explode. Yeah. And now there's no more film.
No. Right. Chris Pratt laid down, right, would just destroy Tom Hanks' head, right? It wouldn't destroy Tom Hanks' body, but it would shut it down, wouldn't it?
So they're just lost in Tom Hanks' corpse.
Yeah, they're just lost.
Why can't they crawl out of the head hole?
Because Chris Pratt's body is expanding, and so they have to go down the spine into the body.
At a greater rate than Chris Pratt's body is expanding.
Yeah. Because
he's already exploded ahead.
He got knocked out at all the exits.
So it's Titanic.
Yeah. It's Tom Hanks-anic. Yeah.
It's Titomic.
Oh, no, this happens in the smoking area.
Yeah.
So there's his way out.
Smoking area in Tom Hanks' head. Yeah.
Yeah, the nose.
Yeah. Just cuts to smoke appearing. Tom Hanks' nose.
This film is stupid.
It really is.
Let's stop it.
That's because his head's exploding, so like the pain
stop
is making
saying
his,
that.
His head's exploding, so the pain is making his teeth grit, so they can't get out there.
We've established they leave for the nose.
They're small enough to dance on neurons, but they
can't get out.
But they can't get out from between his teeth.
Yeah.
I forgot what the name of the film was.
Neurodancer. Yeah.
Which in Chris Pratt busting out Tom Hanks' head.
Yeah.
Yep.
There we go. It's Neurodancer.
Again, loads of places that film could have gone, but it just turned out that the head exploded and we were done.
Yeah. Okay, so from Marcus Newman, we've got I Wish I Was an AK-47.
Whoa.
This is, yeah.
Is this this sort of like transhumanism thing where people are starting to replace parts of their bodies with objects and tools? Like,
yeah.
It starts off with people having chips embedded in their skin to open their front door and to unlock their phone. And then as it goes on, people are like, well, I mean, a hand's great, but I'm a builder, and I spend all my time at the construction site because of this post, like, free market capitalist world where I'm a wage slave, essentially, so I go to sleep and then I come to work, and the faster I can work, the more time I have off. So in order to do that, I need a hammer for my hand.
Yeah, we've got builders going around like Lego men.
Replacing limbs.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I need an auto hammer to replace my hand so I can just, like, put my fist against a nail and it just goes, and it just hammers it in.
But it gets to the point where people have replacing so much parts of the body that they just become a household appliance.
like an AK-47.
Yeah.
Household appliance.
Well, I think we're
going to build up to the AK-47.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like, yeah, that's the thing. We need to get somewhere that's like tangibly within reach of this, but to the point where being an AK-47 is still a push. It's still something notable. Discussing this.
It's the Life's a Pitch podcast. So yeah, I'm thinking well, let's play around with this for a bit, shall we? There's this man who's become a washing machine.
Yeah, and he replaced his stomach.
Yeah,
because you can now get all your nutrients from like just pumping it straight into your bloodstream. You no longer need a stomach. Therefore, he's replaced his stomach with a washing machine. Mm-hmm. So he'll open it up, close the door, a little capsule
pop a Tide capsule in his mouth.
Tide pod.
You know, just eating one of those like people are doing just now.
Yeah.
Really, not much has changed in this future, except we live underwater.
So we come to our washing machine man who's at work. We're just standing around, people putting clothes in.
Yeah.
He works at Laundrette.
Yeah. Right, so, he is a laundrette.
So, Owen Wilson voices this washing machine.
Voices? Nah. This is full on prosthetics.
No, it starts off prosthetics, and then he slowly but surely just replaces all his body parts, so he's just a household washing machine. And
so, like in the vein of rubber, so it's...
Yeah, kind of. Also, I'm thinking more... Shape of Water, really, for this film.
Right.
As in, he works at a laundrette.
Right.
It's actually a romantic comedy where Owen Wilson's washing machine.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
But he likes...
A soldier.
Rachel McAdams, who's a future soldier.
A future soldier, who's obsessed with archaic weaponry.
Yeah.
No, and he wants to seem sort of more badass to her.
Yes. He wants to spend all his time with her because she's always overseas.
Oh.
Fighting in the time wars or like the void front.
Starship Troopers.
Yeah, she's sort of like battling insect aliens or something.
On a far off colony somewhere. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And she comes back to a really, really tight flat what she's got.
Like in a Taxi Driver, like everything is sort of like a little regimented. Everything's sort of like you do a pan around the room and it's so sparse.
It's a tiny room as well.
And he knocks on the door, like "Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, man, welcome back. I missed you."
He vibrates up to the door.
Sorry, I'm still at work, but I couldn't wait to see you. I'm really glad you're home. And she's like, "I'm gonna be."
And then she picks him up and slams him against the wall, and she starts kissing his door.
Yeah.
And, oh no, they have a. There's a sex scene afterwards where she just sat on top of him.
Yeah. Rachel McAdams falling in love with this washing machine.
I think they're already in love.
I think the title "I Wish I Was an AK-47" is just a title.
No, I see where this is going, and that is basically she's like, "Oh, I wish I could." I don't know how she speaks. Something like, "I wish I could take you over to the Void Wars, but I'm not allowed any personal possessions except weapons. They say that personal effects distract you."
Like washing machines.
If I was to take another person, I'd get blasted out of a space cannon.
Why don't I become a weapon, an AK-47? I've been just a gun. I think he just says when I become a gun.
I think he does this in secret.
Yeah,
I think
yeah, no,
she's got a collection of a weapon she does take.
Mm.
Right, she's got AK-47s. It's like space weapon. That pistol from Men in Black, and then also
a big
an AK-47, a big stick, and then AK-47, right? Like, it's just a collection of things from across time, including the cricket from Men in Black.
I've got the best punchline to this film.
Okay.
And it's, he gets it as a surprise, turns up, gets delivered by an Amazon delivery drone.
Yeah.
There's an AK-47 on her door. She picks it up and almost is like, "Hey, it's me." And she's like, "Oh my God, I love you, gun." Hugs her, and then, like, she gets onto her ship in the sort of space car park kind of thing.
Yeah.
Puts him on the gun rack, and all the guns are talking. they're all men.
"Hey guys. Hey, it's nice to meet you, a newcomer.
He's like, I thought I was the only one.
No, you're here. It's hell."
Yeah.
Wow. "War! It's hell! Why did you come here?"
And it's just a series of very famous actors doing the one cameo.
George Clooney's in there, John Hamm.
Ian McKellen.
Ian McKellen, yeah. Yeah, I think that's how it ends, with the ship going off into the void void wars. It's, yeah, I wish I was an AK-47, or in Spain it's known as the Shape of War. I just love that scene with Rachel McAdams having sex with a washing machine. Who knew that was going to be said today?
No, it's because it's vibrating.
Yeah, but it still has the face, arms and legs of Owen Wilson.
just the face going round in the washing machine.
No, he's got face just on top of the washing machine.
Oh, that's disgusting.
His torso is the washing machine. Everything else is normal.
No. He's just got the face and arms of Owen Wilson.
Said, we said earlier, it was...
He builds himself into a proper washing machine.
Okay.
He gets a promotion.
To show, okay, in the early scenes, he gets a promotion.
To full on washing machine.
In the early scenes, it is shown how easy it is to do this by him going from just having a small washing machine in his stomach to having a washer dryer and being the full washing machine package.
But for that scene, though, it's just a washing machine with the arms and head of Owen Wilson. Arms dangling at the side and Owen Wilson's head just on the top. It's like, hey, man.
I'm really enjoying this, or I would if I could feel anything. It
gets around by vibrating across the room.
Yeah, no, it's just him commuting to work, so he's on the bus.
Reading the paper.
You got the opening theme to Up playing while he's on the bus reading the paper. Hey guys! Hey, have a great day. Thanks, Mr. Salt and Pepper.
Oh my God, the salt and pepper people as well. No problem.
But it's like. Some people don't have this.
Thanks, Mr. Salt and Pepper. It's like the Salt and Pepper is one person. It's an Italian chef who's had his ears replaced with salt and pepper.
Goodbye, Owen Wilson.
Goodbye, Owen Wilson. Like, leans over, twists his ear.
Do you want more pepper?
I thought to myself, as I was going grey, I was may well leaning to the skid. Someone replaced my ears.
No, I don't want that bit. It's got a little bit of dandruff in it.
Who knows if it's salt or dandruff?
I'm showing you my wife. She's vinegar. Our relationship is not great.
She's a little sour.
You what?
What are you talking about down there?
It's okay, Maria.
I'm just talking to my friend.
God, what the fuck is this film?
Oh, I love it.
I just love the fact that it's not cyberpunk. It's just sort of a weird Pixar movie. They've really gone to town.
We've just got this weird thing where it's just like, on the one side, we've got people replacing themselves to become household objects. On the other, the Void War. And we're focusing on the former.
It's like this weird Monsters, Inc. style Pixar world, and then just Void War off in the corner of the plot. Then we'll just
and we're totally focused on Owen Wilson's journey to become a better washing machine.
Oh no. No, throughout the film, they keep making allusions to the Void War and like. And you're going, well, the Earth's going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
And the person goes, oh, what a shame. And vibrates away.
And people are always asking him, oh, your girlfriend's out of the Void War, right? How's that going? He's like, pretty bad. And then every, literally, whenever the Void War is mentioned, everyone is just like, how is it? Pretty bad. Like, everyone just says pretty bad. No one really knows what's going on. They just say it's pretty
it's
bad.
This happy Pixar world, but on the news is just the Void War. We've lost another six colonies to the Void Monster. this Lovecraftian tentacle appears out of space and just grabs a planet and puts it in. just screams. we've got an audio transmission from the front lines. Ah!
And then
I want to become a washing machine.
So anyway, he turns it off. So and that's why I want to become a washing machine. Is on at the laundrette.
Oh my god. Oh, I love that film so much. I wish I was an AK-47. That's what it's called.
Oh my goodness. I need a break.
Okay, so that was our honourable mentions. Thank you everyone who's given us titles. We've had so many yet again, so keep on giving us titles every week. Remember, you can find us on facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast, and on Twitter we are @ Life's a Pitch Show to get into contact with us. Yeah, we've had quite a lot of just responses from people, just chats.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
it's been
get
great.
Involved with the old community that's building around it. It's good fun.
Yeah, boy.
If you're enjoying the show, then maybe you want to go over to iTunes or wherever you got this podcast and give it a 5-star or maximum star review. It always helps us find, it always helps people find the podcast.
You can also just share it, you can share it on social media, but you can share it just word of mouth, any of the ways you can think of, guys, how to share it.
Share it,
I would say
you could transcribe it onto tablet.
Yeah, yes, do that. Yeah. Go top of a mountain, if possible. Lure an old man up there.
Mm.
Lure an old man up to the top of a mountain and then throw stone tablets at him and tell him to write it down on these stone tablets. Make him transcribe it onto tablets for you, the Life's a Pitch podcast, soundcloud.com/Life's a Pitch podcast, and then have him take it down to the waiting people below.
Have one that says the SoundCloud one and then the other one says also available on iTunes.
Yeah,
good podcasts.
I mean, the last guy got 10, so
yeah,
we got
yeah.
quite a lot of places. We got there's a lot of space for you to put informational things in. So yeah, mainly just different links to us, maybe the Patreon, which you can go over to patreon.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast, and you can go and chip in a little bit of money to help this podcast keep going. You get cool rewards for that, so you can get behind the scenes stuff, you can get little preview stuff, you can get to vote for the genre. This week the patrons all decided that cyberpunk was going to be their thing that they wanted to listen to, and they got it. So if you want 4 votes a week on that, you can go over there and donate just $1 a month.
Just $1 will get you the vote. There's also loads of other bonuses on there. If you just go to patreon.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast, you'll be able to see all of those bonuses for giving us some monetary support every month. The people that are doing that currently, we've got quite a lot of them now, are Ross_Originals, My Waste of Talent, Brandon Spanky Mills, Jerry Hegarty, Brent Black, Spicy Boy, Mihir Trivedi, Alex Keane, and Stephen Douglas Thomas. So thank you guys for your contribution and support.
Thank you all. You're making everything easier with this podcast and making it better as you go, hopefully. I hope you're finding it better. If not, let us know, because, I mean, you're the ones keeping it going.
Yeah. Let us know what you think, guys.
Intimation, well done, you.
So, before we move on to the final pitch, the main pitch of this week, I've got some awards to give out.
Oh, some awards. Let's play the sting.
Yep.
Yes, very clever. Yep, that's the Yes, Very Clever Award. What is it, Tom?
The Yes, Very Clever Award is the award we give to titles that are already based on existing film titles in that genre. That we couldn't really do anything with because it's like, oh yeah, we get it.
Yeah, we get it. It's a good joke.
Yes, very clever.
Good joke, guys.
So I've got two to give out this week.
Oh my goodness.
Because I was just like, oh, there's one that's really quite clever and then one that's just really funny. So from Alex Not Safe for Work Keen, we've got Knife Jogger.
Knife Jogger.
I'm pretty sure we had that conversation with him.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Knife Jogger.
When him and Bobby were on and we couldn't stop talking about Blade Runner, I'm pretty sure we came up with Knife Jogger.
Razor Sprinter.
That's a great name for a film.
Brick Loitering.
Okay, and from James Cannon, we've got Ready Player 2, Mum says it's my turn now.
Very good. Yes, very clever. Very clever. Yes, very clever.
So yeah, thank you for those titles, guys. Okay, so on with the main pitch, which is me.exe.
We want to stay away from Black Mirror territory here, don't we? With, you know, your consciousness is a program that can be executed onto any software, right? Or do we?
Yeah, I think we go straight into that. Okay. That's better than what I've got.
What did you have?
Nothing. Literally nothing. I was just like, yep, no, it's a good title, but yeah. I have no idea what to do with it.
So what if people could write their own programs that were themselves, but it was more of like an avatar? So, like, you know, you can do a dating profile, or you can do a Facebook profile and stuff. You put your interests, hobbies, likes, dislikes. You use this huge survey. You like this, how would you respond in this situation, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And you create me.exe. And it's supposed to be exactly like you, but isn't quite. It's more like what you project into the world, or what you want to be.
There is a Black Mirror episode that is just that.
Kind of.
It's to bring
someone back from the dead.
It's called Be Right Back. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And also that's accurate.
Yeah.
Like, that's completely accurate. Like, the person is almost indistinguishable.
No, the point is, it's based on social media posts. In that episode, it's like, oh yeah, this is all based on social media and how the person presented themselves to everyone.
It's been a while since I've seen that episode. This is why we needed to stay away from it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm thinking it's a good place to start, because I think me.exe could be run on a computer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not on a thing.
Maybe it's not an avatar of themselves, that it's their actual personality, which they can rewrite via computer.
Yeah.
So they can make themselves, like,
right, yeah,
smarter or funnier or...
Yeah, so you can remove dislikes. So, for instance, someone is like talking online with a girl.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I really want to go over to this sushi bar. I love sushi so much. And he's like, all right, brings up me.exe. Or it's not, I wouldn't say it's...
I love sushi. I don't know, I think me is a new social media platform.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's called Just Me.
Yeah.
And like you said, you do a questionnaire.
Yeah.
That is, it takes you about 2 months, 3 months to complete.
And it's every evening for 2 months.
Yeah, it's an extensive... It's an extent, like, maybe even a year.
There's
or like,
and
like
there's
that.
Real world stuff. So, for instance, you've got, it's expensive. Like, it's like a half a year's pay for this thing.
And like, not only is it questionnaire thing. So it takes what you perceive to be your true self, like in the social media thing.
They also test you.
It also records on a camera what you are like.
Yes. Yes. And additionally, like, tests you. So they'll send stuff out. For instance, once me is in your computer, it will suddenly like flash and blare sound effects or something like that, and it'll see how you react to it.
Yeah. So like it's a very natural,
almost
organic,
a psychoanalytical
test.
Yeah. Test.
And I'm thinking it starts with I think it's a weird one. I think marketing wise, I think we could have a short film beforehand, because this is kind of a mini film that I'm pitching, but. Maybe the company that starts me could be sending off like a load of, like, you know, all those sort of immersive murder mystery games.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm thinking of Game Night here, but basically, like, something feels like it's gone out of hand. Like someone's found a dead body in their house.
Oh,
and
so it's
recorded your reaction to it and how you would do it, and it's all actors from this corporation.
What is it that I've seen that makes? Oh, Existenz is about a video game company that makes realities indistinguishable from actual reality.
Okay.
And it builds into it this kind of, to make you feel like a real hero. It builds in a subplot where the twist is that they get out of the Existenz. universe place, and then something's wrong with the Existenz company, and they've got to search that out. And then eventually, like, they do all this thing, they get to the end, and then they unplug themselves from the Existenz, and it was in the game. Mm. Like, the whole mystery was inside that thing. If this thing is built to give you tailor-made fantasies, then...
No, I was thinking the opposite. I was thinking it would basically build a new you,
okay,
inside this virtual world,
right,
where everyone who's got a me profile is interacting, but like outside of the real world, like you can set it up, and it does it maybe like mines what's it called, cryptocurrency. So like you can get an internet profile that lives and breathes on the internet for you.
So it's autonomous.
Yes, it's an autonomous you inside the internet, like creating content or like
contributing
to discussions.
Right. I think maybe the thread you're trying to put in here. Mm. Then every night you come back to your computer, you plug yourself into me, and all VR of the knowledge kind of thing that.
Yeah.
Exactly the same brain has acquired is downloaded into you. It's like a neural map.
Yeah.
So they plug throughout the day, that guy is like acquiring that information. At night, you can just download it into your brain. Suddenly, you can have spent the day on Facebook and interacting with people, all your friends, and working at the same time.
Yeah.
So you're a wage slave in the real world. That's why, because you have to pay so much to be on part of this thing.
Mm.
You've got to sort of like spend most of your days working.
Yeah,
yeah.
But you having the experience of having party all day.
It's the social network for someone who's like the funny thing is the autonomous you is having a better social life than you are.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah, but you get their experiences every night.
Yeah.
So you get
go to bed, plug in, and your dreams are about having a social life.
Yeah,
so with your friends, you're living out
like the start of the Matrix.
Yeah,
yeah.
Where Neo is thinking about dreaming about having that second sort of hacker existence, subculture hacker existence. Mm.
So we get conflict when someone does that, sort of downloads it into their head.
Mm. Yeah,
but then just before they go to bed, they go, "Oh, I haven't got the dream thing. I'll come in a bit."
Yeah,
he's in bed, and then his voice, but not his own voice, goes, "Hello."
Yeah.
So Meenox, it didn't download properly. They just got two hymns living in the same head.
Mm. I'm thinking it's Mary Elizabeth Winstead is our main character.
Yes,
okay.
That's what I was thinking. But I was thinking we'd go along the lines of it's not the technology's bad, much like a Black Mirror episode.
Yeah.
It's not the technology that's bad; it is the people.
Yeah,
and I think because there's an autonomous person who is built from.
Well, remember, this is cyberpunk.
Yeah, yeah.
So, instead of it being one of the themes of cyberpunk, instead of it being the people who use the technology that's bad, the state or the company that has the technology has an ulterior motive. And I think that is, like, it's not just... You know how Facebook sells off our information?
Yeah,
yeah.
It's not just our information, it is us.
Mm.
It's selling versions of us off so that other companies can run tests on us to find out how we would react to certain business propositions, like tailoring things exactly to us.
How we would react to, advertising.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like, we start getting, like... So when Elizabeth Winstead starts being approached by salesmen...
Mm.
Saying, like, and she's just like run out of sugar or something really small.
Yeah.
And it just outside the door, just like, "Sugar, get your sugar." Like, it's sort of, you know, it won't be sugar because it's cyberpunk.
Not running out of sugar, but I think it's a great way of learning how people would react to certain types of advertising.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, clickbaity stuff would be a thing. What Facebook does is look at what you've been looking at.
Yeah.
And then, like, "Oh, you like this."
Yeah.
You'd be interested in this. And it's basically just a hyper version of that. So I think that's a subplot that will feed into the main...
Okay.
Main thing.
So this is the main thing.
Yeah.
what event can happen that wises her up to this? I think she has, instead of waking up as with all the information that her me.exe gathered during the day, she wakes up as her me.exe. There's something's gone wrong and it's back-channeled. Like, there's something, like, brain has been fed into that, and her me.exe is running her body. So now she's figuring out that, like, the day isn't just full of the day that a me spends in the me kind of verse, the Nintendo Miiverse, is not just interacting with friends. It's not just partying, like it says, like me says. It's full of being probed and tested, even like military testing.
And then it gives, like, but they give you the dream sequence of having the physical validation of having a social life.
Yeah.
Or just the validation of having a social life, the sensations and stuff when you go to bed.
But that's a falsehood.
That's a falsehood. Yeah, everyone's getting the same thing.
It's just a dose of doping, pretty much.
Yeah, but that me.exe is being tortured and stuff by corporations.
Yeah, like and so it's
how you respond to this.
Yeah, and so Mary Elizabeth Winstead is sort of she gets in there, and then it's like an arms manufacturer trying to figure out like how what danger would make her want to buy guns to defend herself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like,
or what would make her want to join the army.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, for instance, they bring up like it's this horrifying Matrix style rack of but different like cultural stereotypes. So they've got the sort of like Muslim terrorist stereotype, and then they've got the Russian KGB guy, and then they've got like a German, like a Nazi standing there, and they've got a space alien, and all of this stuff is stuff that they're testing on her, that like to try and sum out her reactions to what would make her most scared.
I'm thinking her me.exe is like, again, I think that the executable program is so much more like them, that they've grown sentient, and Mary Elizabeth Winstead's one has sort of gone into the thing of like, right, I'm swapping consciousness with this person, I'm getting out.
Yeah, it's torture.
Yeah,
for them. So that Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who is a coder, I think there's got to be something that's like she has unique insight into what this thing's doing. So she's somehow studying it, or somehow
she is a PhD doctor in
computer science.
Computer sciences. Yeah. So,
and so she's got a custom rig or something like that. Mary Elizabeth Winstead has, I found her name so difficult to say. Mary Elizabeth Winstead has rigged up. She didn't want to pay.
Yeah.
She didn't want to pay the thing. She couldn't afford it because she's just like an academic.
Mm.
She can't afford it. So, but it's part of her degree. So she just hacks her way into it.
I said like PhD. I think she's not a student.
Yeah.
She is a very, very well-respected computer scientist.
Right.
Who didn't have a hand in creating the meat.
But some of her research was used for it.
But because she is in the know of stuff, so her me.exe is justified for actually learning to get out.
Yeah,
because it's got her knowledge as well.
Absolutely, that's where I was coming at this as well. Like, her me.exe is, has figured the world out and has taken her place.
So we've got our act one.
Yeah. So now we've got on Act 2, which is full of her being tortured in this hyper corporate like rat maze.
But it doesn't look like hyper corporation. So
you could also have like two sort of parallel storylines where it's her the exe in the real world, and they're trying to.
Yeah, trying to
pass himself off as Mary Winston.
That would be so weird.
After having been traumatized by these, like,
so you've got this horrible. Because I'm thinking it's not like the Matrix stuff, you know, with like the loading program or whatever. It looks like a fucking Darren Aronofsky film. You know, like how weird, what's his name, Charlie Kaufman.
Yeah. Okay.
Stuff. So it's all real. based on like her memories and her life and stuff, and how it's just it's becoming a nightmare. It's personal torture.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think, and so there's a kind of thriller horror bent to this thing. Mm. I think. Like, so we've got Mary, who's now trapped in me.
Yeah.
And then we've got Mary.exe, who's now out in the real world.
Yeah.
And the thing is, me, the social network, feels like 21st century Earth Prime sort of like normal stuff. Outside is a capitalist dystopia.
Yeah.
Mm.
So
it's a generic cyberpunk capitalist dystopia.
Yeah.
Outside, where she's living in this tiny box apartment and it's always raining. There's neon lights, and in the computer world where Mary is now, she like again it's very personal torture. I think like it's going through her memories and using them against her to create the best advertising possible.
Yeah.
So it's what this film is saying is advertising is hell.
It is when you start to take too much information from people. So I guess you've got all the kind of even this is the great thing, even charities.
Mm.
Like, you've got an Oxfam thing. Like, how can we pull on your heartstrings the most in order to fundamentally make you give up the most money? Or how can we play on your insecurities?
Mm.
So it's trying to play on her insecurities. So you have things like the girl who was mean to her at school.
Mm.
She sees her adult now with this car. And so they're like, and then she like stops the car, leans out, goes, "Oh, what are you doing with yourself now? Oh, you're not even driving this car."
Torture.
Yeah,
it's torture.
like taking part, even like the small parts, they're just rubbing it in. Like all every one of her insecurities is being used to try to test just how certain things will be. And here's the weird thing. I love this now, because we have the meta narrative. We have both sides of the coin.
Yeah.
We get to see Mary.exe in the real world. Suddenly, screen flips on, and a computer kind of generated version of someone who looks very much like Aubrey Plaza, who was the girl who was mean to her at school, is in a car and driving past, because the advertisers have realised that, oh, that worked, tick that box, we can show them that advert. And so like we have this kind of parity between the two. Whenever something is successful in the simulation, it appears as advertising, or something happens similarly in real life.
So Mary's living hell in her virtual world now because they've swapped. Mary.exe is having a fucking breakdown because she's being surrounded by advertising that she is having, like,
been tortured today.
Having a reaction to everything because she's like, oh shit, I remember this shit.
She was already in there.
Yeah.
And so I think what's going to happen over the course of Act 2 is this, and then she's going to kind of manage to find a way to break the cycle.
Yeah, the end of the film is they're getting out of me, right? Yeah.
Yes. They are. I think the me.exe, like Mary, is going to band together a load of me.exes and find a way to basically create their own bubble of me.exe that those guys can live in. Or, here's the better one, maybe, a different one, is that they managed. We characterize the bad guys. We characterize the people at the me.exe offices who are like laughing at, who are out there laughing at people who are being tortured.
And I think they're literal fat cats.
Yeah,
they've had their. It's like the Hunger Games, where they've had their bodies made to look like cats,
and we have
just really fat.
And we have them upload the me.exes into their bodies at night because they're all using it as well, but in their own private way. And they have them break into their secret one and then upload it so that they take over their bodies.
I'm thinking Mary Elizabeth Winstead, because she is a computer scientist, finds out a way to break out of the torture zone.
Yeah, she's. Well, this, I think a lot of the second act is her going like, "How did Mary.exe do this?"
Yeah,
like following her clues.
Yeah, but no, she breaks through all the advertising torture walls to get to the actual programming side.
This is such a labyrinth film.
Yeah,
like, this is so like so much like a like labyrinth, sort of like trying to get through these various trials to get out of
So she's like she's broken out, and she's wondering about the place. Is there some sort of like me security force to deal with, or some?
Yes, definitely. Mm.
Some sort of antagonistic force after they get out.
I think that all those scary things. So the terrorist guy and the kind of like stereotypes are all chasing after her.
So she opens the door and it's like a room full of Audrey Plazas.
and then like Tim Curry as it. Or like all these things from that she was scared of as a kid are all there as well. Like, oh my god, this is terrifying.
But then I'm thinking, like, because we sort of switch between. It's mainly about real Mary, her journey through the computer world, but we keep cutting back to.
Less so, because I think the kind of. The denouement, the sort of like, not the Deus Ex Machina, but the sort of like, the justified Deus Ex Machina is going to be, they're at the last point, they're not going to make it through, and Mary.exe is like, you know what? I want back in.
Yeah.
Like, you can have your world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I want to, at least in me, I had power.
Yeah.
And so, like, they all, I think the finale is them. Uploading themselves, every consciousness that they could get together in me, and it's probably like a load of Mary's friends and family and co-workers and such, busting in into the brains of the fat cats and basically taking over the company.
Yeah.
And then we close with a news report that's like, it seems today that the Me company has decided to make a great change in its operations. Now they're just offering holidays or something like
offering vacations
with a designated AI service staff, and it's all the fat cats who are like in the places of the service staff.
I think Benedict Cumberbatch was the
The
fat cat.
Yep.
Mr. Corporate Fat Cat. That's his name. Yeah. So
that was
me.exe. I think that was...
We meandered a little bit, but by the end, I think we had quite a good idea.
Yeah. We've got a plot there, guys.
I mean, it wasn't very funny. It was
terrifying,
it was
mainly.
A pretty good idea for a film. So, thank you for listening to the episode. Where can people find us again, Matt?
That you can go over to if you want to let us know how you enjoyed the episode, or you want to just have a chat to us, or you want to give us a title for next week, you can go over to facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast, and you can also go to twitter.com/ Life's a Pitch Show. That's the main places that you can communicate with us. We also are on Instagram. We're at Life's a Pitch Show. And just give us a message anytime if you want to have a chat, or you want to give us titles. Or what have you? You can find us there.
Also, please go over to our Patreon page and look at all the bonuses you can get for giving us some monetary support. As just as little as $1 a month goes a long way
Absolutely,
into helping
yeah.
us create a better podcast.
It genuinely is the difference between us being able to put a lot of time into this and us barely scraping by being able to do the podcast. So it's a huge difference.
Max Revels, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Where can people find you?
I'm part of Strike Comedy, so you can find us at, is it Strike Comedy on Facebook?
Yes, Strike Comedy on Facebook.
Every single member of Strike that's come on the show has wondered what the URL was.
Yeah, I think we should have a meeting about this. But yeah, that's spelled with S, as the many Strike members been on, it's spelled with a U.
S-T-U-R-I-K-E. Strike Comedy. I think that's... Facebook is Strike Comedy, and SoundCloud for the podcast
is... It's just Strike.
So
you can find our podcast there. Also, you can find the Sheffield Reviews podcast, Loose Cannon, if you want to expand your comedy podcasts and Sheffield-based podcasts. And I'm just saying words at this point.
Loose Cannon podcast is really, really funny. I've listened to a few episodes. Thank all again for listening. Thanks, Ross, for the title this week.
Yes. And thank you all for giving us titles. Goodness me. Mm. Amazing work, everyone. Really good titles this week. Mm. So, until you are sign yourself up to that brand new social media network that everyone's talking about, only to find yourself trapped in a nightmare of personalized regard exactly to you, then I have been Matt Turner.
I've been Tom McGrath.
I've been Matt Tribbles.
Remember who pitched it. Bye!
Bibbidi bitch!